Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. On this December 17th, a beautiful day down here in St. Pete, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, where we've been for a couple of years as we celebrate the spirit of Christmas across from the Trop. I'm Mike Rickard, alongside baseball Ben Botham, my number one draft pick from Savannah State. Ray Kennedy's roaming around somewhere in the building. You never know. He's got that ADD, age deficit disorder, and I've got it times two. And then you throw in the attention deficit disorder. That's why you carry the show, youngster, with your young brain. Anyway, we'll be partying all week long down here at Ferg's as we are 1 week away from Christmas Eve. And everybody's in the spirit. I've got my goofball, Mr. Christmas. Sunset Beach has christened me Mr. Christmas, so I have to wear the attire when I come down. Of course, we got some great conversations today in our ice pick vodka conversation. St. Pete's most interesting man, Tom Gribben. We're going to talk to him. He's the author of The Last Florida Boy. It's an interesting read. I've just delved into it. Just met him last week, and we got a lot of exciting things down the road. In the Body Armor Prep Connection, Brad Richardson will recap the 2022 fall football and the state championships. The final two games take place today, and then it's a wrap for Florida high school football. And then we've got King High School football head coach David Sevillar. He's the district coach of the year. Great story. I don't even remember the week we had those kids down. They're only 3-7, but the reality is this. They won the districts. They went to the playoffs. It gives these kids something to be proud of, and that's why I made that statement, and I want to continue to do that. And you know how I feel about that, Ben.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was a great story to hear, you know, first time in years doing it, and real positive group and real great coach setting a good example for the kids.
And to be recognized and given coach of the year only with three wins. And I know that, you know, they say in this society that, you know, what do you give out, participation trophies? No, that's not a participation trophy. They were busting their ass and to get where they were. So we'll talk to him. We'll shift gears a little bit again. Adam Wood, head track and field coach of the Jesuit Tigers. He'll talk about his 2023 squad. And then you and Ray and Brad Richardson and I will roundtable and take a look back at 2022, as this will be our last show of the year. Right now, why don't we dive into the Fergs from the front row, brought to you by our friends at Coppertail Brewing. And again, thoughts and prayers out with Will Law. He is the representative for Coppertail. They just discovered this young man. He got married November 12th, and he had he got his tumor removed on November 12th, and on the 17th, he got married. So this young man, he's got some challenges ahead of him, and he's in rehab, so our thoughts and prayers. But he's been a great supporter of us, and he got a great college football lineup with the Bulls. You actually have NFL today. Three games.
Yeah, three games. Saturday football. How do you feel about that, Mike? You like Saturday football?
I don't like Saturday football. I understand why they do it, because, you know, they obviously want the audience. The college football eyeballs. I mean, if you take a look at these bowl games that I'm going to go over in a minute, it's not exactly riveting radio or television unless you are a passionate fan.
Well, they have the Fenway Bowl, which is kind of interesting, going on right now in Fenway Stadium. It's right behind you. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's neat to see.
And that's a good game, Louisville and Cincinnati.
Yeah, very, very cool game. You know, it is what it is, but it's neat to see it in a historic stadium like that. I like football and baseball fields.
You're a baseball guy. That's what
that might be.
It looks like hell, but you're a baseball guy. You think it's cool.
It's kind of neat.
They play in Yankee Stadium, too. I remember I went to a game there. I love Yankee Stadium. I'm sure Tom's been there. I love Yankee Stadium for baseball. I don't like the new one as much as the old one, but I'm an old guy. But I remember Iowa State played there. And we all go out there, you know. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm supporting, you know, the Cyclones. Like, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
I've never been to a football game at a baseball stadium.
We used to have them over here all the time. See, the Trop.
I was a little too young, Mike.
No, just 2 years ago, pal.
Was it 2 years ago? Oh, geez. Well, I missed out.
See, we got a personality. I told you
2 years ago too. I was still up in Georgia.
Oh yeah, you're still going to college, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Why don't we go over the pro football lineup with the three games we've got today, and then tomorrow, and then Monday Night Football.
Cool. Yeah, we'll start with the Vikings and the Colts. Vikings probably the most fraudulent team in the NFL, I would say.
Fraudulent.
Yes.
Well, I'm a Packer fan. You can hammer them all you want,
of all the 10-3,
what'd you come up with? Okay. Fraudulent. Yeah,
because all the 10-3 teams in the NFL since the merger, they have the worst point differential out of any team.
Fraudulent. You ever heard that?
Not with Dalvin Cook on the team.
No. Fraudulent.
State boy, man.
Fraudulent to me means there was some point shaving.
I'm just saying more than them just having the worst point differential, they're the only team to ever have negative point differential, as well as yards gained versus given up. The Vikings themselves have a yard differential of negative 790, which is the fourth worst in NFL history.
Well, we will say this, and it's hard for me to admit that division blows. It's kind of like the NFC South.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go too far. They will make the playoffs, but that'll be the end of it. I doubt that they'll win many games if they win a game in the playoffs.
All right, so I won't interrupt you anymore if you don't use the term fraudulent.
Okay, well, what's a better term then for that, Mike?
Overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah. You lost about half our audience because they're not smart enough to figure out how would fraudulent and football fit together.
All right, I'll try it.
They're kicking everybody's ass in the NFC North because it's a soft division.
It's a soft division.
Just like the NFC South.
Then we have the Browns versus the Ravens and Bills versus Dolphins. Bills versus Dolphins is going to be an interesting game for sure.
Want to see some frozen fins. Watch that game.
The Dolphins, there's been some rumors that they're a little soft team. In their previous game, they said it was 50 degrees out, and they asked for heaters for the team. In today's game, where there's probably going to be some snow, I don't know if the Dolphins are going to be doing too hot.
And on the T Florida, I had Kenny Betts from Mangrove Bay on. I don't know why he grew up here. He went to Northeast High and played college golf here. Diehard Buffalo Bills fan. I think it's a family issue. Anyway, he said we interrupted him on the golf course. They're having the St. Nick Open, but he decided to come on just for a few moments. He said, "Take the Bills, and give 30." I said, "I'm calling my bookie in Iowa. 30 points. They're gonna the Fins will be the frozen Fins, and it'll be a sad game." Okay, continue.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to probably bench Waddle today because I'm afraid he's not gonna put up many points.
Hey, how did you take an advice from me, in your fantasy football?
Very poorly, Mike. I definitely was not a happy camper with Mr. Brady.
Hey, that's not my fault.
Well, everyone was.
I told him to start Brady on his fantasy football team last week.
Negative, right?
No, he got some points. He did throw for a touchdown, so that saved my butt a little bit. But I probably should have played Daniel Jones, who got 17 points in fantasy.
I told him not to play Daniel Jones and go with Brady, and I said take that to the bank. Now not to take anything to the bank with.
Yeah,
me.
I'm just gonna have to fade all of Mike's picks from now on. Pick the opposite.
Brady tomorrow versus the bench.
I wouldn't take Brady against the Bengals either. I think that'd be pretty poor idea as well.
I'll take the 30 points.
Yeah, 30 points sounds good though.
I'll take that.
But next we have the Commanders versus Giants. The Giants are another team that's a little bit overrated. They had some new luck with the coach going 6-1 for the NFC East, and then in the 6 weeks that they've played afterwards, they've only gotten one win, and that was against the 11-1 Texas team. So it's a little rough team. I think they're a little overrated as well. And of the 227 teams since the merger with a 7-5 record, the Giants have the eighth worst point differential at -33.
And you didn't realize that I brought in an analytical youngster to break down the games tomorrow.
Yeah, just a few. Just
I like
few.
Analytics.
I'm just looking at the overrated.
But the audience loves them.
Yeah. Then we have Jets Lions. I'm pulling for the Lions there. I kind of like the team. They got a good bunch with them.
Plus, don't forget Zach Wilson's back this week because Mike White gets so
beat up last weekend. So Zach Wilson, who he thinks is going to be on his bench the rest of the year, they're bringing the kid back in. It might be his last shot to try to save.
I don't think the team likes Zach Wilson that much. I'll be honest with you. The way that they flipped so fast.
Yeah, like, nobody likes Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
little prima donna, pretty boy from BYU. I'm a Western Kentucky grad. Mike White went to Western Kentucky, so I don't care if Zach Wilson falls off the face of the planet. And Zappy for the Patriots,
yeah,
he's a Western Kentucky grad. We are unofficially the backup quarterback
of the NFL.
Of the NFL pipeline. Western Kentucky Hilltubbers.
And keep your mom away from Zach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
Oh, yeah. They do. Yeah, those MILFs, they're all over that cat.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that guy. But next, we got the Eagles versus Bears. Eagles are definitely going to dominate that game.
Yeah, I think.
Saints versus Falcons. That's going to probably be a crummy game.
Let me ask you, Ben, where is that game, the Eagles and the Bears? Is it in Chicago or is it in at the Lincoln there? I don't know.
Why
I ask is because I think obviously they've got to.
Okay, give me that. I know you're the young people here.
No, those are the odds.
No. Caps means home team. Okay. Home team caps. But you don't read papers. You guys are all digital these days.
I read the paper.
I know you do.
Okay.
You're in your 50s.
That's right.
See, I thought that was just the bet nods there.
No, brother. Okay, so.
So who's home? Is it Chicago?
Where are we at?
The reason why I asked.
It's in Chicago.
Okay, so you give
Soldier Field on the
old school Soldier's Field.
Tuck into your mic there, Mr. Radio Guy.
Well, Justin Fields, it's going to be Justin Fields versus Jalen Hurts. Let me tell you, the Philadelphia Eagles have a lot more to lose than Jalen Hurts getting injured than the Bears do and letting Justin Fields go crazy. So even though we like to say it's
got. You see the weather?
Is it nasty winter?
Yeah, it's nastier now in Chicago. I talked to my daughter, and it's right there on Lake Michigan. Yeah, so.
So I'll give Justin Fields his due. I'm not saying the Bears can upset them, but I think it may be closer than we're thinking.
Not happening.
Okay. What do I know?
What do I know?
I don't know anything.
Oh, you already?
Yeah. You still got the list.
I thought you were reading it off your phone.
No, I was reading it off this.
I'm trying to protect what you and I still like, the printed word.
Hey, I still get the newspaper delivered, Mike.
Why would you get the printed word?
That's like football in Yankee Stadium. Still getting over that.
Yeah, exactly.
You must have seen prize fights there.
Exactly.
Then we have the next game is Panthers versus Steelers. The Panthers are as the new graphic shows, sniffing around for a playoff spot. There's decent possibility they might surpass the old Buccaneers.
No, don't.
Did you have a Tampa Bay before you came on the air?
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. I know it's a little crazy, but
he's going to talk about my Bucs like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. I got a little soft spot for the Panthers this year just because Steve Wilks, their head coach, once coached at Savannah State University.
His alma mater.
My alma mater. So I see
the passion there.
Got to give him a little bit of credit.
All right. Well, it's still not happening, but
it's probably not happening.
I love your support with fellow alum.
And then Cowboys versus Jaguars. Jaguars, another team that has a decent shot.
How about those Jaguars, baby?
Impressive.
Yeah. Well, everybody wondered all that talent, you know, assembled, coaching change, and I think they're the real deal.
Doug Peterson now
is a hell of a coach.
Press Taylor, the brother to Zach Taylor, the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, is getting the most out of that. And this is a little something. Press Taylor was the quarterback coach in Philadelphia back when they won a Super Bowl a few years back, and he was the one that drew up the Philly special play, in which, of course, Nick Foles catches that touchdown. They're getting the most out of Trevor Lawrence there, and I like this game. I tell you, I like the Jacksonville Jaguars to keep rolling on it.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence has definitely proven that he is the quarterback there, and they just need to build some weapons around him. So I think the Jaguars got a bright future ahead of them. The next game, we have the Chiefs versus Texans. Should be a blowout there. Chiefs definitely dominating that game. Broncos versus Cardinals. That'll be interesting to see now that Kyler Murray's out, and you know Broncos definitely haven't been a very good team.
At all. Colt McCoy ripping derby, right?
Yeah. My son still has our season tickets. Lives in Denver, and it's a disappointing year. Okay. I say that. Yeah.
Raiders versus Patriots, kind of dull game as well. Chargers versus Titans. Titans, another team that I would kind of say is another overrated team. The teams that they've beat have the second worst win percentage at 33.3%. So the Titans have been playing a lot of soft teams here.
Well, they're in a soft division, just like our South is soft.
This is soft.
We're soft. They're soft in the South.
I bet you that Raiders Patriots game will be fun to watch, though.
Really? You think so? Yeah. All right.
Josh McDaniel versus the Jedi Master and Bill Belichick. Of course, he did beat him once when he was coaching the Broncos for 6 weeks 100 years ago.
I remember that.
That brings a little drama to the table, so that could be a good one.
Exactly.
And then the last of the Sunday games on the sheet here is the Bengals versus the Buccaneers. Hopefully the Buccaneers pull out a win here. Tom Brady really needs to start kind of stepping it up after last week's performance. At least to help my fantasy team, I would greatly appreciate it, if nothing
God, else. You young kids, they don't care about the W's and the L's. How do they give a damn about his fantasy? And it's only a $1 billion business now.
They're betting on that now.
I know. It's unreal.
Here's the scary thing. The lady that I was talking to a little while ago, a Bengals fan here, they flew in yesterday. They met a big party of eight because they got the Bearcats game on, the bowl game. And she said that the people on Delta Airlines were saying all they were doing yesterday was flying straight to and from Cincinnati and bringing plane loads of Bengals fans down. So, fortunately,
it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day. But Bucks have to get gritty because it ain't going to get handed to them. Ben, you're definitely right. Those Panthers.
You're a blinded fan, but I love your perspective.
And then on Monday, we have the Packers versus Rams, Mike.
My Packers, I don't care. I don't care.
About all right. That one.
And that's your NFL games. And, of course, we got 100 televisions down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'll go over the bowl games. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to St. Pete's most interesting man, the author of The Last Florida Boy, Tom Gribben. As I said, the Fenway Bowl taking up place right now, Louisville, Cincinnati. The SMU Bowl, New Mexico and BYU, the LA Bowl, Fresno State, Washington State, the Lending Tree Bowl, Southern Miss against Rice, Oregon State, Florida. That is a 3:30 kick, I believe, and that's the Las Vegas Bowl. There wasn't one last year. Was there one Florida team in the bowl game?
No, I think maybe the Seminoles had a chance to back into one, but they didn't get there.
So yeah, I don't think they participated last year, which is a sad state of affairs in state of Florida. Very sad with all the talent they have here. The Frisco Bowl is Boise State, North Texas State, and then Myrtle Beach Bowl has Marshall and UConn.
Mike, I want to ask you a quick question if I can. You know, we lost Mike Leach this week, coach of the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah, we'll talk about him too.
Of course, they're playing in a ReliaQuest Bowl here on January 2nd over here at Raymond James Stadium. You have any quick thoughts on that? I mean, that guy was a great guy.
When we come back, we got a hard break today. We're going to stay on, and I want to dedicate some conversation because he started his career at Iowa Wesleyan.
I knew.
And I knew a lot about him in 1989. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. have. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, a week from Christmas Eve. This is our Christmas theme production, and we're going to have a lot of fun in the next hour and a half. And I can't think of any more fun than talking to this gentleman about his incredible life. Of course, it's a conversation brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and my good friends over at Sea Dogs. I'll be over there tonight for a little Christmas holiday and watching the boat parade if it doesn't get rained on. And his name is Tom Gribben. I'm finding out that everybody in this city knows who he is. And sometimes, you know, in my hometown was that way. Sometimes it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I when people say, everybody knows Mike Rickett, I mean, who is it first? But
right.
Welcome you down to our show. I appreciate it. Honored and excited about building the future conversations with Tom Gribben. How you been, man?
I've been looking forward to this. Yeah, I feel good. This is fun.
Yeah, we just met the other day. Had a little lunch with J. Cole from Sunshine 96.7 and Joe Bordreau put it together. And that guy puts a lot of things together.
Yeah, he does. And Jay was telling Joe that he talked about our lunch, and he said, just listen to those two guys right there. They had a radio show going.
Yeah, we sat right here. We were talking sports and entertainment and comedy and you name it. We talked about it. And Jay said, you know what this was, guys? This is a podcast.
Yeah.
And essentially it was. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Brad Richardson. And we'll be talking a little high school football with Bradley here in about half an hour. So let's go back to growing up here.
Okay. I grew up right here in St. Pete, went to Bishop Berry High School, went on to Florida State. Then on
I forgot you were a Seminole. You and Ferg got something in common.
Yeah, and then I went on to University of Florida Law School. So I've hit them all except for Miami. I hate Miami.
And you can watch your Gators today in a bowl game in Las Vegas as well.
Yeah.
So you got your law degree, then you came back to St. Pete to practice.
No,
law?
Actually, that's when I went to Miami. Actually, when I say I hate Miami, I meant the football team because I went down there to practice law first, and in a pretty high level law firm. It was a lot of fun. Had appellate stuff, the United States Supreme Court. But I was coming up here. I'm from here, and I used to come up here and play music with my friends. And then that took off, and I got a record deal. And you know, I left law and ran away with the circus for several years. My first record hit the top 10 over in England and Holland. And the next thing you know, I was on that track.
What'd your family think about leaving the law profession to be a rock and roll guy?
Yeah, my mom was a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure. But then when you showed her, you know, your number one, she probably loved that.
Yeah, she really enjoyed the fact that it hit over there. And, you know, she saw the film of me playing at Wembley. You know, we played at Wembley 6 years in a row.
Wow.
So that was a big deal.
What was the name of your band?
BBC. Tom Gribben and the Saltwater Cowboys. I had a couple guys from Coral Reefer Band in it. The bass player, Jimmy Buffett's bass player, Harry Daly, and Fingers Taylor, the harmonica player. They played on my first record, actually.
Didn't Jimmy Buffett play down in Sunset Beach a lot where I'm at?
No, he played at Madeira Beach.
Oh, okay.
There was a little place there called the Keg and Cork, and he just rolled in there one night because Harry was playing in the band. And sat in, played for about 45 minutes, picked up the guitar. This place was small. It's about as small as a small room there at Ferg's.
What year would that have been? What time frame?
When Jimmy played?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably in the late 70s, 79, something like that.
Yeah. Well, there goes all the myths that are spread down at Katiki because people say, and he played right here. you know, these guys have it all wrong.
Yeah, there wasn't a Katiki there when he was there. But Jimmy popped into town when he'd come into play, you know, and say that the Don Cesar called me up and we'd go down to, you know, he might sit in with a couple of bars. There's a place down in Gulfport. I don't even remember the name on 22nd Avenue South and 49th Street. That was the place. Anyway, we rolled in there and you know, Jimmy might do a song or he might just hang out. And he was always hanging out down here in Ted Irwin's boat, the distant drummer. After the show, we'd go down there. Ted had his boat docked. You know, he's a big sailor.
Sure.
Irwin Yachts. And Ted was a great guy. And Jimmy, and he always at the, he'd go, you know where Ted is?
Well, you did that for what, a decade?
Yeah, probably not quite. I started, you know, that it probably about. Yeah, probably a decade, but I mean, I got from getting the record deals probably about 7 years, but I did it playing in the bars and coming up from Miami, and then I moved up here finally when the music thing took off.
Did you ever continue practicing law?
Yeah, I opened a practice here, and then, you know, because I figured, you know, you're not going to make much money playing music, playing sure. in the bar, so I came up here and opened up a practice on Central Avenue with a couple of buddies, and then the record hit, and I was going like, law. Proved myself a liar. I went ran away with the music, but I continued on. You know, if somebody in the band got a DUI or something, I'd be down there representing.
Well, and you still play from time to time. Oh, yeah. You played last night at Ricky T's.
Yeah,
he's at Ricky T's last night.
Really, that wasn't too far from.
Yeah,
I was over at Brass Captain last night, so that's not terribly far.
Yeah. No, and I go up there too. You know, Kenny, who opened the Saltwater Hippie, is a buddy of mine. And if you go into the Hippie, you'll see a big picture of Guy Clark, one of his favorite songwriters, on the wall playing darts. And a famous photo by Jim McGuire. And McGuire's a friend of mine. And when they opened that up, I had McGuire give me that. And I framed it. Everything had McGuire signed it. We put it on the wall at the Hippie.
That's pretty cool. And that's right behind the inside stage, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
No, not the inside. That's a big picture of.
Oh, okay.
And people are wondering who. There was a big thing like, who are those people? And it's Jerry Jeff Walker and Willie Nelson and Jimmy Buffett. Mm-hmm. But it's over on the wall. It's a frame picture just of that. It's black and
white. Is that the Saltwater Hippie?
Yeah, the Saltwater Hippie right
there. I haven't been there yet.
Oh, we'll meet you up there.
Well, they used to work at Katiki, I believe. The original owners were a lot of the staff.
Oh, yeah.
They migrated up there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because a lot of Katiki people, they head up to Saltwater Hippie.
Yeah, they had live music last night. I think they got live music again tomorrow, every Friday, Saturday. They always got bands playing, so.
Yeah.
All right, so you kept your law practice going. You got the music deal. When did you decide to get into the comedy world? Because you started Coconuts Comedy Club.
Yeah, well, we started, you know, when the rock and roll, when the, you know, the touring and that sort of fame sort of started to peter out. I wanted to stay in the music industry, so we started throwing concerts. Me and Rob Douglas, who does a lot of stuff at Janus Landing now, fine guy, and my partner from the band. So we started throwing concerts over there at a Mexican restaurant called Las Fontanas that turned into the Turtle Club. It had a big concert room. And so we started throwing concerts there, and because of the way the sound system's set up back then, you know, the opening act would always mess with the knobs and everything and the sound for the headlining act. So we used comics so that, because it only took one mic. And once the headlining act did a sound check, you wouldn't have to readjust anything. You just put a comic on a separate channel. And so we'd hire local comics to do 20 minutes. And we felt a little guilty that, you know, we're giving them $25 or something like that. And so there was a loft upstairs that they put all the tables and chairs. And so we rearranged it, put a mic up there, and said, after the show, $2, you can go up and see a comedy show. And they'd go up, and people would go up there, and we wound up, you know, the promotion business, it's a hairy business. But we wound up making more money upstairs at a little 75-seat room in the comedy club. So when the last month we opened our first comedy club there, Coconuts Comedy Club, and then it closed, you know, after a couple of months, we went out to the beach moved it to the beach, and it stayed Coconuts. It's probably the longest running comedy club in the state of Florida still.
Over there on St. Pete Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just there last year, and first time I'd been there. It's a nice little small venue.
Well, that's not the original one, but yeah, we found a couple of different venues over the last, since May of 86, we opened that.
Oh my gosh.
So
you had one in London too, didn't you?
Yeah, we had one. We had, over the course of the time we had Coconuts, we had over 100 clubs. I mean, we had it in the Cayman Islands. We had it in
St. Did you Thomas. Franchise them, or do you guys run them yourself?
We didn't franchise them, but we licensed the name out. Franchising is a much
more pain in the ass.
Legal thing. So we'd franchise them out, and we booked everything from here, and we had them in New York. We had them in L.A. We had them in London. We had them in Italy. We had them in Amsterdam. And wherever we went on vacation, we were trying to open up a club.
See, an incredible success there. And then you run into Bill Edwards, who's a household name in the St. Pete area.
Yeah.
And you and he worked together for years.
Well, he got in out of the mortgage business, and he got into the entertainment business, record company. And so he hired me to, since I knew a lot about it, I guess, he hired me to when they first to build the studio, came on as the executive vice president. And we built the studio in Big Three, and you know, for years we had touring acts, and back when you could make money selling records, you know, we had a record label.
Were you a part of his team then when the Rowdy's acquisition took place?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we had gotten the bid to run the Mahaffey Theater before that, and so I was there on the team running the Mahaffey Theater, and then. Somewhere along the line, he got talked into buying the Rowdies. And so, yeah, I was involved in all that. It was a lot of fun. All the entertainment stuff at Al Lang Stadium and all the stuff at the game, any entertainment stuff, I was involved in that. I was in charge of that.
So you touched the world of comedy, of sports, music. I mean,
absolutely.
You name it.
Oh, yeah.
Which one did you enjoy the most, the music?
To be honest with you, I didn't leave law because I didn't like it. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was adversarial. It's like a boxing
competition. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I loved it. I was a competitive guy. And so I just migrated to each one and enjoyed each one. I don't know if I had one. I love the entertainment world. So that would probably be the answer.
Are you an avid sports fan? Are you involved in music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, sports fan. You know, most musicians are. You know, the whole trend of wearing jerseys and everything started with musicians. You know, Jimmy Buffett's first a drummer, you know, was the first one I saw wearing he looked like Ron Guidry. And so he wore Ron Guidry's Yankee jersey on the stage, and when no one else was doing it. Now, of course, every musician, every rapper, everybody's wearing sports jerseys, but it started in the music world.
But Billy Joel?
Oh, Billy Joel.
No.
Billy Joel did too, didn't he?
Oh, they all started it. Yeah. I mean, but it started the music industry started the wearing the jersey fashion.
Exactly. I remember when Billy Joel cracked it out because he was a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a Jeter jersey he had on.
Could have been. I know he performed the last show at Shea Stadium. He closed it out, him and several other guests came on.
So, a Rays fan?
I'm a big Rays fan. I'm wearing
the Rays brim on.
Yeah, I was there for the opening day. I still have my little seat cushion that everybody got opening day. I still got two of them.
So you've been along for the ride. You see that they made the transition, and Peter Gallenbeck, I don't know if you've ever crossed paths with Peter Gallenbeck.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Accomplished author. He lives.
I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Accomplished author. He lives in the neighborhood, and he was livid last week about what?
Yeah. The members. So they no longer do season tickets now at the Rays games. It's now membership kind of packages that you can get. Like you can say get a $500. Membership package, so you get $500 worth of tickets, whether that's 20 people to three games or it's you go to 50 games.
Yeah. You know, it's not really us to criticize. They've taken a no budget team and become a power in the East, and you know, I'm amazed they have no, you know, one Yankee makes more than the whole team.
That's a reality.
Yeah, and so if they do it by experimenting with these kinds of things, not because we have a lot of season ticket holders. So I'm always amazed with what the Rays have done. And so if they want to try this out, I'm all for it.
I'm okay with them trying it out. I just wish that they still offered at least the standard season ticket holder.
Peter was not happy. He's like you. He's an original. He says member now. He said that was an original season ticket holder.
Yeah. Yeah, I was too.
Yeah. Hey, gentlemen, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation. We'll get these guys involved. We'll wind up. We'll keep you on if you don't mind. We're going to talk about the best of 2022.
That would be great. Yeah.
All right.
I've got some Yankee Steinbrenner stories, too.
Yeah, I want to get some of those Steinbrenner stories. And I might move Ray over here. I got to take a little break. Ray might be in and out in the conversation. So we'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network.
I can come back too much.
No. Oh, I don't know what the hell I ate, but I got to go use it. What's that?
No. I didn't hear you. Okay.
Okay, I need you to. It's a 3-minute break.
So Jimmy Buff used to hang around here, huh?
Yeah, yeah, we used to have a good time.
This was after like A1A and everything?
Yeah, this was right during that time.
Yeah.
He came up here. The first gig I ever had was down at his little Nepa hut. And at that time, Jimmy came in down there.
And
went to the doctor and said, "You let me off my boat here for free. I'll do a little gig." And the guy went, I didn't even know.
Nobody really knew.
That's one too.
Yeah. And the guy threw Buffett out.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it.
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack.
The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water, hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wave Maker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection radio network.
I mean, my law partner, yeah. You know what? Was one of the original owners of the band Tampa Bay Bandits.
We live?
Oh, wow.
And they bought the Bandits. Bandit. He didn't know anything about football, but
Are we live? It's been like 3 minutes.
Mike said I'd get a joiner. I don't hear.
Test 1-2.
I heard the notification. No, I'm on the computer.
Here we go. I see control room. All right, guys, I guess, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. That's dead. Hey, you know something, though? Because we're actually having conversation out here, I'll just continue it. So really wasn't, you know, dead air, as they would say, but absolutely. We were just having some good conversation. Of course, it's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we're down here live at Ferg's, the world-famous Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill out here on Central Avenue on 16th Street, just below 16th Street in the Edge District of St. Petersburg. And you know something? I wanted to ask you, Tom, because you said you grew up here, and you and I got into this before we even got on the air. It was Moss Brothers. It was the Bayfront Center, of course, Bayfront where we had Center. Everything, yeah. right? And, yeah. of course, the marina. But the city of St. Petersburg in 1986 or 83, when they start making plans to build that, what was at the time the Pinellas Suncoast Dome, and then they get in 98, the Rays come to town, and they put into that mortgage, if you will, that agreement, that if the team is still here in 2027, the owner would get 50% of the development rights for that beautiful, plush 80 acres of property just across the street
from us. That's why they're hanging in there.
Right? And that's one of the reasons why I think Sternberg can't commit to Tampa, because he knows he's sitting on Jeff Vinnick's side. This is Jeff Vinnick's on Tampa, and you got this over here,
Absolutely.
The development.
Absolutely.
But let me ask you, Tom. When you were growing up, we knew this place, we everything would progress, but did you think you'd see a St. Petersburg like we see here today?
No. I mean, when I was a kid, there were green benches downtown. I mean, all the action was on 34th Street, all the movie theaters, you know, and to watch it grow like this. And then when the Bayfront Center, and of course, the last decade I've spent at the Mahaffey Theater, you know, running the concerts there. And it amazes me every time I walk out to see the Dolly, the pier, you know, the action here, a Major League Baseball team, and downtown just all revitalized now.
And I tell people this.
The waterfront is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going to college and all that, and I was always told, you know, just be careful going down there. Don't go by yourself. That's all I
yeah.
ever told.
I remember when the Vinoy was empty. We used to sneak in there and drink beers, kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see it now. It's one of the
times. Man, did you know this? The Vinoy, they used to play handball, tennis in the beautiful rooms at the Vinoy, because it was basically, they had homeless people, you know, kind of squatting there, and it was run down and downtrodden, and they turned that thing around.
Yeah, we used to sneak in there and drink beer. It was crazy. And now look at it. The premier hotel in St. Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a time when 4th Street, okay, 4th Street is another, what, 8 blocks that way? 4th Street down was considered downtown. Yeah. Then it turned up to, you know, Martin Luther or 9th. Then it turned to 16th. But now we've got condos going just below 34th Street. The entire St. Petersburg area, it has become the burg, and it is all waterfront.
Well, this Edge District and everything, this has just happened in the last few years. Yeah. I mean, all that grew down there, and that waterfront was beautiful, and the Dolly and all that. But this, we have moved west at a really fast pace.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic. Well, and you know what? I think the race had something to do with that, too.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I was going to ask you guys this. Ben, you might want to chime in if you know the answer to this, but how many of you, with you two, do you refer to it as Baywalk or the Sundial?
Well, Sundial for me, because my boss, you know, he bought the Baywalk, and nobody went there. And when you went into the old Baywalk, it looked like the inside of a prison yard.
Yeah.
And he bought that thing and then just tore the front end down. Remember where the escalators went up? Just tore it out to make it open.
I mean, the prime thing there was a Johnny Rockets. I remember just
that's right.
Johnny Rockets. which Johnny Rockets, it seems like, oh, back in the day, Johnny Rockets. But that was like literally, what, the early 2000s or going into it.
But you know, when it turned into Sundial, for a couple of years, we did call it Baywalk.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, it's I don't think of Baywalk anymore.
Yeah. That beautiful sculpture out front helps ease that transition. Yeah. But Ben, let me ask you, because everybody is still say that kind of breaks a couple of weeks ago that there's plans that the Sternberg has entered into with the development company, and the city of St. Petersburg has to figure a way to get there. And then Tampa now, this last just a couple of days ago, they've got something if they can get a hold of some waterfront property for that huge stadium. Tell me, Ben, how can baseball, forget about the economics of how to get a stadium built, how can we make baseball work that we can get the people from Tampa, North County, and across the bridge here in Sarasota to come to St. Petersburg to enjoy one of the best teams in the American League East?
So first of all, I think, you know, what they proposed, at least for St. Petersburg, I think it's more attractive than what they proposed for Tampa.
True. Yes.
It's a giant bubble over there in Tampa. Right. I think it looks kind of silly. Mm-hmm. And also when you look at what is proposed, you got to think they said that they're making housing, apartments, whether it's for elderly folks or affordable housing is a lot of the stuff that they were talking about, as well as putting in all kinds of kind of, you know, shopping centers and stuff around the stadium. They want to build this into, you know, not just a stadium, but an event kind of place where you can come See shows, see events, go shopping, and also see the baseball.
Well, game. Also, too, the other thing that they were talking about is that, you know, when there's no game day going on, they want to obviously bring more events. I mean, look at what's going on right now at Tropicana Field. They have Enchant there. I mean, that draws
beautiful. My son was there last night, yeah.
Month of December. And they want to have more and more going. I mean, I remember they used to have the boat show over there. They had the boat show over
there. Well, they had Paul McCartney there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they want to do. I know, I think something they discussed was that once there, if there's no game day going on, have it open to like the public a certain way, like you can actually walk through there or something like that. Make it kind of open, I guess, is what it
well,
was.
Right. All right, guys, let me say, first of all, apologize. The control room guy is messaging me, says we do have a guy on a phone that has a raise question. And I am so sorry that I am not in enough of a functioning capacity to take that question. So please stay tuned. Keep it locked in here with the Tampa Bay Sports Connection. And Mike gets back, we'll get that question. But this next question is for you, Tom. And that is, we saw it when the Lightning, they started playing at the fairgrounds to 11,000 capacity. And then the Storm were over there too. And all of a sudden they said, what else can we do? We had this big stadium across the street here, right? They turn it into the Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. And they had the largest crowds in the National Hockey League.
Right. So 29,000 people for a couple of months straight. We were setting the NHL record day in and day out. But I'm hearing the people, the Tampans, if you will. I hear them in 2022, and they say St. Pete's too far to go for a baseball game. And I'm like, we 29,000 of a whole area was coming here for the Lightning back in the day, and we were setting Storm with the Arena Football League. So don't tell me. Here's the thing: Tampa's a little bit, they're a little bit jealous, first of all, because we're on the best side. We're on the peninsula, We've got the beaches, we have the bay, and they're more of an industrial, big business, and they got the airport. But don't hate. We're gonna get a stadium built here. It's going to be beautiful. Come across the bridge. The Howard Franklin's like 32 lanes now. You get here fast. Yeah. It's a little inconvenient, but we do the same for Lightning and the Bucks, right?
Plus, take this into account as well. They actually fixed the Selman. The Selman, it's much easier to get in and out now if you go to see a Lightning.
East Tampa, Brandon.
The entrance and exit from the Selman, it makes it easier to come.
You could be in the cow pastures of East Tampa. I'm kidding. You could be in Lakeland. You could get on a Selman or I-4, be across to Howard Franklin in a game in 45 minutes, right? Yeah. Even the Malfunction Junction, drove across that last week when it was rush hour because we were going out to the next big thing. It was a Saturday, but the concert never had to go below 30, 40 miles an hour.
And baseball, Ben wouldn't remember this, but this is a baseball town. I mean, I grew up here. And the Cardinals and the Yankees were down here on spring training. You know, you could hang out in the parking lot with Stan Musial and, you know, as a little kid and get Mickey Mantle to sign the baseballs and everything like that. It was a baseball town. And I would love to see that come back.
I mean, heck, Mickey Mantle lived on Reddington. Yeah. He had a house out there, and you could see him walking around. And my family, because they used to live out there as well, they would see his kid playing on the beach, walking around. And, you know, his name was Mickey Mantle as well.
Yeah, and you see Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe on the beach behind a bathtub, the Tides, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not old enough to see that, but yeah.
Well, we don't go back this far, Tom, but Mayor Al Lang, the original mayor in St. Pete, 1918, he realizes that all the pitchers and catchers report in February, and where else in the country would you want to be in February than in Florida? He proposes how great it is for baseball, that thus we get Al Lang Stadium eventually. But yeah, we've kind of always been there with baseball. It's got to stay here.
Not only that, but when we'd have big acts come in to play the Mahaffey Theater or anywhere around town, they'd like to schedule it during the Grapefruit League. They would come. The big acts would come down here, even for a little less money, if we can get them tickets to go see the Red Sox or the Yankees, you know, during spring training. And I always used to like that element of, booking. You know, you're trying to argue to bring them down here. Well, hey, can we get you some tickets for the?
Yeah, is it coinciding with when the Sox teams are here?
Yeah, those Boston, you know, entertainers would come flocking down here.
And let's know something with Al Lang too. I mean, Al Lang now is the home of the Rowdies. I mean, for many, many years, Al Lang was used very sparingly. Yeah. Now the Rowdies come in, and all of a sudden, look at those crowds. Those are big crowds they get.
Well, the walk-up crowds, too. All the restaurants, everything. You can get a walk. You can get 10,000 walk-up easy on a slow night when you got a good game in town.
And I know this might sound sacrilegious, but I surely wouldn't mind seeing the stadium, baseball stadium down there at Al Lang. Right on the water. A little Fenway Park. I mean, even if it's just 28,000 people, you know.
I'll have to wind the show down.
Yeah, we've all been talking about that.
I love Ray Kennedy. Talk about it. Pinch hit at the last second.
Hey, you're running them off now. Ray, that was fun.
I got one more question, Mike, if I can.
Sure.
Take your mic.
not one more question, but a point, because the thing was, is the problem with Tropicana Field was they didn't have the amenities for the businesses to bring in people and schmooze, because you were talking about it, Tom, when the Grapefruit League's in town and you schedule shows and stuff. And I got a actually family member, does about $4.5 million gross, is a businessman, and he owns tickets to the Lightning and the Storm when they were here. And he'll actually take customers over to Tampa when they're in town because he's trying to build big business. He said he saw the plans for the new stadium they're proposing across the street behind us here, and he will 100% be buying into that because he wants to be able to bring in people and entice customers and other people.
Hey, guys, we actually have Steve from St. Pete on the line, and he wants to chime in real quickly. We usually don't do call-ins. This is our first call-in.
Great. Wow.
Steve from St. Pete, thanks for listening, brother.
Thanks,
Steve. History's made on the show.
Hello?
Steve, are you on? Yeah, you got a question, brother. We got about 3 minutes.
Yes, I would like to know if the chances of the Rays coming to Oldsmar, because that was thrown out there once before. I don't understand if they're going to rebuild the stadium. Why would they want to rebuild it over Oldsmar? In Ybor City, which is ghetto? You know, Oldsmar is not ghetto. You got Tampa Bay Downs, and it's a great place. I just want to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Zero
chance. Well, a lot of conversation, and a lot of people would like to see it over by where the dog track's at.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Oldsmar, they have all that room up there, so I can see why people are saying that. But if people are complaining about coming over here, you know, I just don't think the infrastructure set up to travel up there.
Well, technically, though, if the team's in Oldsmar, they're technically still with it. No, that's not St. Petersburg, so they lose all the development rights for Tropicana Field. Sternberg does, so that's a zero for me.
Yeah, and we know what the bottom line with Stu is the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Now, what did you think about Sternberg, you know, being part of Bill Edwards' management team? What did you think about Bill Edwards selling out to the Rays?
Well, you know, the most successful baseball franchises in the country, Cubs, the Dodgers, the Yankees, they all own these minor league soccer teams. So, you know,
they see the future
there's
coming.
Something in there. No, I think there's some other reasons besides just the future. Obviously, there's some benefits, some sponsor benefits or something like that.
What do you call that? Sports washing?
Seriously. I was surprised. I mean, to see the Rays jump on what the big, you know, St. Louis, the big baseball towns own minor league soccer teams. I didn't know that until the Rays bought the Rowdies.
I didn't know that either. And if you call the Rowdies right now, you're getting, you know, the ticket office. If you're calling sales or you're calling their media people, I found out the hard way, you're getting the Rays office over here.
We had a great time with the Rowdies, though. When Joe Cole came to town, you know, the big English soccer player from the England's World Cup team, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the soccer. I went to all the games.
Had you ever been a fan player?
Yeah, you know,
our generation, of course, you were over in Europe.
I was over in Europe, and so when the band was over there, I followed the Tottenham Hotspurs. You know,
that's my son's team and my team.
Yeah.
Well, he convinced me to be a Tottenham Spurs fan. I'm like, he gives me this hat. And I thought that was a basketball.
No, it's the Spurs. And they had a record. Just the Spurs are going off to Wembley. And my band, we used to play the song.
See why he's the most interesting man in St. Pete? He can sing for us and give us some. Yeah, the Tottenham Spurs.
Yeah.
I went out to see my son, Ben, and he and his buddies are all. It's a Sunday morning, and he says, we're going to watch football at my place, Dad. Everybody, she's got three TVs set up. And I'm like, 9:30? No. You know, it's Mountain Standard Time. He goes, Pops, you got to put up with one soccer game. These guys were all nuts. They all played college football, my son. And I said, well, I don't even know a freaking team. He goes, well, you're a Tottenham Spur, Pop. I said, and he comes out, his wife gives me a hat. And
you know who plays for Tottenham right now? Harry Kane.
My son let me know that.
The big star from the English team. That scored more goals than anyone in English history. In the World Cup.
He's a Tottenham Spur.
He's a Tottenham Spur.
Oh, damn. If I had known that, I'd have been pulling for England. No. Speaking of that, man. Well,
did you hear that the Queen had actually hired the English soccer team from the World Cup to actually be her pallbearers because she was hoping the team would let her down one more time?
Oh.
Yeah. You better go over to Coconuts with that one.
Too soon. Yeah. All right. It ain't easy. Yeah.
All right. We got about 30 seconds. Well, Tom, I really appreciate you sticking around and adding a little.
We'll do it again.
Well, let's do it often. Yeah.
This is fun.
And we're going to have a. book signing down here too.
That'd be great.
The Last Florida Boy. Where do people pick it up?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Tombolo Books. You can get it at a lot of the bookstores. Or you can hunt me down. I'm doing. I got a few in my car, Mike.
Yeah, and he might be right down here.